today on Real Ghost Stories Online. She woke up to see a man in her bedroom doorway. Then strange things started happening around the house. Who was this man? Did he used to live there? Was he looking for his wife?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802, the phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we, of course, have that option for you to listen ad-free and get advanced episodes of the show before anybody else. It exists for you on Apple Podcasts. Become a premium subscriber there, and then you have an exclusive channel to go to where it's just one after the other of ad-free advanced episodes for you to binge away on patreon.com/realghoststories, another place to find that if you're not a user of Apple Podcasts. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. I got Halloween decorations up this weekend. It's been kind of an ongoing several-week process for me.
Because oh, I know.
I just have too much
to
shit.
Daughter.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Your daughter is so excited.
Yeah. What's she been saying about all of what we've been doing?
Well, she did say there was like some kind of demonic clown.
Oh, yes. That's at the entryway. Yeah.
That you have put up to scare the crap out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, watch out for your dad, because he's the type of person who's going to move that.
Mm. Like, well, I think you
expect that it's going to be in your bathroom.
I think you gave her ideas by saying that, because we woke up this morning to find demonic little girl dolls standing in front of our bedroom. That
I'm very sorry. Oh, that's your daughter.
The idea of moving things. Yeah. Yeah. That worked. That stuck with her. No, we have a lot of stuff, obviously. There's a lot of skeletons and some figures and stuff. But we went to a store this year and got some new refreshing stuff. This is not an advertisement, but I got to say this. Home Depot has really stepped their... They've been really good on their Halloween characters. I've always liked their selection. This year is even better, and they're cheaper than years past.
Oh.
Like, some of the stuff that was like $200-$300, it's like $100. Some of the stuff that was like $4, $5, $6 is like $3. I was like, these are cheaper than I've ever seen them. Maybe it's because COVID, you know, jacked the prices up for a while, but yeah. So basically we loaded two large carts the other day with more zombie figurines and all of that to put around the inside of our house, not just the outside.
Now, does Amanda have the love of Halloween that you do?
Not quite. I mean, she enjoys it. She has fun with it, but not quite. You know, I don't think many people do. And that's not saying anything negative. I just saying that's a high bar.
No, you and Harper you always start decorating in September.
Yeah.
And Harper, I asked her this weekend, I said, when do you officially quit celebrating Halloween? And she said the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, but you're not giving Thanksgiving any time? And she's like, no, not really.
We eat. We do Thanksgiving stuff. We do all the Thanksgiving, you know, things that you do. But yeah, then we kind of go into Christmas mode. And you get Krampus out. Put Krampus in the corner. Krampus is going to scare the children. But it's pretty well decked out. It kind of looks like you're walking into Pirates of the Caribbean as you enter my home. I got to send you a picture of this, because we have a staircase there. And it looks kind of like the Titanic's grand staircase. That's the only way I can describe it. And you know, it kind of goes to both sides, but there's, you know, big railings and banisters. And I have a giant skeleton like hanging up on the center of it. So you walk in the house and it looks like there's a skeleton that's been crucified, hanging like directly, like where the clock would be on the Titanic, if you're visualizing the Titanic grand staircase. And then on each side of the staircase, where it kind of, it spreads and juts out, then I have skeletons hanging in different ways off of those banisters as well. I have one where the head is missing, and I just put the skull into a candle valance that's on the wall. So it makes it look even cooler. And then as you wander through the house, there's like characters kind of hidden in different places that talk. And yeah, it's, and I still have more to dig out. We finished some stuff yesterday. I said, I swear to God, we had more skeletons. And they're like, yeah, there's somewhere.
Where are all the skeletons?
So I went in the basement and I found another large wardrobe box filled with skeletons.
Like, I knew it. Here are the skeletons.
This is what goes on in the Brewski house. Let's go to our first phone call of the day. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
My name is Melanie. And when I was married to my ex-husband, we lived in San Diego in my brother-in-law's house, and which he had purchased from a widow, a widow, and her husband had died not too long before that. And my brother-in-law worked in Ireland, so my ex-husband and I and our two children, we had the house to ourselves, and it was an older home. And in the hallway to where these bedrooms were, there was a light up on the top of the wall that required you to actually turn a switch. It wasn't like a switch with a wall plate. You had to actually turn the switch on the light itself. And it was way up at the top of the wall there, so my children couldn't have reached that. And shortly after we had moved in, we were in bed, and I woke up, and I'm looking at our bedroom door, and this figure of a man was standing there. And as I realized what I was looking at, this man started coming towards us like he was floating, and got to the edge of my bed and looked at me, kind of bent over a little bit and looked, and then by that point I was wide awake and realized what I was seeing. And at that moment he started just very slowly backing out of the bedroom and disappeared in the hallway. In the weeks following that, the lights in the bedroom were the kind of lights that you had to push in and turn to at the wall to turn them on. And I'd go to bed, we'd turn the lights off, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and my light would be on. Then I started noticing the hall light was on. And like I said, my children were little, so they couldn't have done that. And I kept asking my ex-husband if he had done that. He said no, but this would go on for, you know, weeks at a time. The lights would go on in my bedroom and then in the hallway. And then they started coming on in the kids' room. But I never felt threatened. Well, we mentioned this to my brother-in-law, and he had said that, and we didn't know that he had purchased the house from a widow at that point. But when we mentioned this to my brother-in-law, he explained to us that he had bought the house from this widow, and she was now in a nursing home. So my belief is that the husband who had died recently was looking for his wife, because that was their bedroom that they used to sleep in. After that, I never saw the man again, but we would leave to go visit my parents for the weekend in Orange County. And in this house, you had blinds that were the kind of blinds that were like a roll up. They weren't like slat blinds, but they were the kind that were like a roll up. So you would pull it down and then it would go up. And I had always pulled the blinds down, and I had turned certain lights on in the house before we'd leave. And inevitably we'd come home and the blinds would be up. The curtains, the cafe curtains, rod and all, would be neatly placed at the bottom of my windows in the living room and dining room area. In one instance, when we came home, that happened. as well, but opposite lights that I had turned on, the opposite lights would be turned on, and the ones that I had turned on were off. But the most significant time was when all of those things that I just mentioned happened, but at the same time, all my furniture was in the center of the room, all my plants in the house that had been around the living room and dining room area were all now placed on my coffee table. And I can't rule out that somebody maybe broke into the house or had a key at some point and was playing a joke or something, but I don't believe so. The doors were all locked. There was no evidence of foul play or anything like that, but I don't have an explanation for that. The same, this all centers around my ex-husband's family too, this type of activity. We grew up in Garden Grove, California, and that's where his parents were, as well as my parents. And he was in the Navy, and so he was gone, and I was staying with his family in Garden Grove. And I went to work, and I had come home to their house, and I opened the front door, and I went in the house. I went straight to the kitchen to get something to drink, and I could hear my sister-in-laws, two of them specifically, at the back of the house having a conversation. I could hear what they were talking about, and I went, got my drink, and I went down the hall fully expecting to see my sister-in-laws, and there was nobody home. And as I walked down the hall, the chatter got quiet, and like I said, there was nobody in the house. Another time, I was in the house alone, and I was coming down the hall, and this ball of light came out of a bedroom, and it was very aggressive and came after me. And in another instance, the front doorknob, I watched it being turned, but there was nobody on the other side. People that would come and stay the night at this house that had no knowledge of anything, because we didn't talk about it with people, would complain that they were being pulled by their feet or pushed around in the middle of the night. And I am a sensitive, I can feel things and sense things. And I could tell where all of these, I just call them things, just entities around the house, and I would point them out to my ex-husband where they were at. And they had brought in an exorcist, somebody from a friend of the family, and as I followed them around, they were pointing out every spot that I had pointed out except for one spot. We finally realized that what was happening is the mother, my mother-in-law, and one of my sister-in-laws had gone to a healing seminar at the Anaheim Stadium one year. This was back in the 70s. They were had put up a shrine, because we're Catholic, and they had put up a little shrine to the Virgin Mary, and they were praying on average 12 to 13 hours a day. And I'm convinced that they had, through this, had invited some negative energy into this house, and it was causing quite a commotion. In fact, we had to commit my mother-in-law for a three-day psychiatric bit because of her. She became violent and so on. But after we cleansed the house, things settled down a little bit, but things like this have continued to follow me. Anyway, so that's my story this time. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for your show.
Very creepy, creepy story. What's your thoughts on all of that?
So much. There's so many things that happened to that poor woman, and way she's telling it, she's just super chill and all of these things. And then the exorcist came. I'm like, if I had an exorcist ever at my house, I'd be like, and then there's an exorcist.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was interesting in all of that, that I'd like to ask you your thoughts on, because she thinks some of this could go back to the mother and a sister-in-law who are praying all the time. They had the shrine to the Virgin Mary and they're praying like 10 plus hours a day, which is a lot. But would that
I do seven. I do seven to the shrine in my backyard.
And that seems to be okay. Maybe seven's the number of hours one should pray.
Exactly.
And anything above that is just bringing in negative energy. Because I'm like, how are you praying for, you know, when you're praying to God, how is that letting in the negative at the same time?
I don't know.
Seems like that would be like kind of an armor. That would be your superpower to help. So I thought that was interesting.
It's an interesting observation that she made, and, you know, no right or wrong, I guess, to any of it. But it doesn't really necessarily go along with, I guess, the common way of thinking about that.
Yeah. But, you know, could be. I don't know. But I did think it was interesting with a man at the very beginning of the story. And I don't necessarily think he was connected to all the other things. Mm-hmm. But I could see if he passed away in the house, then his wife goes on to live in a nursing home. I could see like her explanation of him looking for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I'd be looking. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that one with us. If you want to share your ghost story, 855-853-4802. Get an ad-free experience and advanced episodes and bonus episodes as well when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. Check out our channel right there or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.